Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Absolutely delighted and honored to tell you that on the line from Bulawayo, we have Jenny Williams. Jenny is a prominent human rights defender and a founding member of the national coordinator of the Zimbabwean Women's Rights Organization. Good afternoon to you, Jenny, and thank you for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to all the listeners out there.
Jenny, you must be a very brave lady. Zimbabwe is not known as a country to embrace opposition or people who don't toe the line. So hats off to you for doing what you are doing. What I wanted to ask you, and I just wanted to put it out there, that I'm embarrassed to say that we in South Africa don't concentrate nearly as much on Zimbabwe as perhaps we should. I think many of us don't even know what's going on there. So my question to you just initially, Jenny, is what went wrong? There was so much hope when Mugabe was, I don't know what the word is, what was he, gotten rid of and replaced by Emmerson Mnangagwa. What happened to all that promise?
Well, first and foremost, I think, you know, the issue is that we have to understand that for almost 39 years, almost 40 years, a certain system of governance dictatorship had been put in place. And to expect that to just disappear overnight was maybe a huge ask. Everyone had hope that it would happen, but it wasn't really realistic to expect that. And so this flush and this honeymoon, just the same as there was this honeymoon in 1980, was not really met with by concrete reforms in all sectors, including security sector reforms that were necessary to remove that pillar of support that Mugabe had around him. You know, when a dictator is there, it's because he has this infrastructure in place that keeps him in place. And unless you pull it away and erode it, you won't get any change. And so I believe that all we did was just take another person and put them in the place of Mugabe and not deal with what was around, what was wrong with the systems of governance.
But Zimbabwe isn't exactly known for allowing that kind of discussion or debate, is it? I mean, we've seen pictures of MDC people beaten to a pulp. I believe there's another party, a new party, Zimbabwe Transformation, or whatever it's called. Likewise, you know, they don't entertain objections to their ideologies.
Well, I know we, from this region, we know that very well. 20,000 people faced the consequences of being in opposition to Mugabe in the early 80s and lost their lives. Nothing was ever done about that. And so we know for a fact that this is the system that is in place doesn't deal with well with opposition, which is why I'm talking of these reforms that needed to be done. And, you know, for me, as a human rights defender who's been arrested over 70 times in peaceful protest, it's shocking for me to watch from the sidelines, as I did this last 2 weeks, and to see whether the right was going to be respected, what was happening, how many people would be arrested, how many people abducted, beaten, and it's just the same old. And
so the Twitter,
disappointment.
The Twitterverse has exploded with the demonstration that happened last week, perhaps because it involved one Tsitsi Dangarembgwa. I hope I'm pronouncing her name even remotely correctly. And she's a prominent Zimbabwean who's been longlisted for the Booker Prize. It kind of takes things from the sublime to the ridiculous. I believe she was arrested for taking part in a demonstration of two people. I mean, this is hardly a threat to the state, is it? Or not exactly posing a COVID hazard either.
No, not necessarily, you know, but I think also we are maybe not understanding social media, and because we are in a structure that doesn't understand how communications must be real and live and be based on issues, they overreact to Twitter. And so my sister Tsitsi fell in that crossfire. But I mean, you know, it's so bad on the ground. People are so desperate, so hungry. There was already chaos because of the austerity that has had to be done to try and recover the economy. And on top of that, COVID has come and hit us. And so everybody will be desperate to protest. And so the desperation has led people to even have one or two people demos. And really my plea to this government is allow people their right to demonstrate as long as they are going to do it peacefully. Now I have issues with people who will take to Twitter and Facebook and say we are having a demonstration. Because to me, without clarifying what are the issues, how are the issues going to be done, how will nonviolent discipline be adhered to, I feel it's irresponsible, especially as we are very different from the Black Lives Matter protests. We don't have a health delivery system to speak of. And so if you put people in the harm in the streets and they do contract COVID, which is highly contagious, as a responsible person going to cater for their health needs? It's a different scenario here.
Then
when you arrest people like Tsitsi and people like so many other people, and you arrest them without social distancing protocols, without fumigating the cells, you are now causing an additional human rights abuse in that you have exposed them to a pandemic that kills.
And Jenny, are you getting any publicity from the international press or the BBC and Deutsche Welle and CNN? Is anybody commenting on this? Is anybody publishing anything?
We are seeing a few comments and, you know, a lot of it, we are seeing that all the people in America who were prominent in the Black Lives Matter protests have come through and started to show their solidarity. There are a lot of people in South Africa too. We really are grateful for that solidarity. But it must be unconditional solidarity, but just social media is not going to cut it. They need to be speaking to their governments, speaking to their local MPs, and saying how can SADC, how can the African Union put more pressure on our president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, to do that hard work of reforming the security sector, to do that hard work about understanding the right to protest and understanding that it's sacrosanct. If I choose to get a protest done at this stage, it's me who's putting my life in my hands, and nobody can take that right away from me.
Jenny, I just want to personalize this in the 2 minutes that I've got left. I want to understand, if I were to hop in my car and drive across the border, would I actually sense, would I see that Zimbabwe is in a bad way?
Well, you know, this is the one most incredible thing about the people of Zimbabwe, and that's why we need and deserve the solidarity, is we are extremely long-suffering. We always will want to have a smile on our faces, no matter how hungry we are. And that is a very positive thing. That's why we deserve the help. That's why the solidarity. You will find that the cost of living is untenable, even for you. You will battle to survive here. And so that's the things that you will see. What you won't see is on the faces of the people that suffering because of the characteristics, the way they are, and the way they are tolerant. Perhaps we are too tolerant.
Perhaps indeed. What a lot of food for thought. That was Jenny Williams, human rights defender and founding member of National Coordinator of the Zimbabwean Women's Rights Organization. Jenny Williams, thank you for being with us this afternoon and for opening our eyes to something we really ought to know more about.
Yeah, and just to correct you, I am from WOZA, Women of Zimbabwe Arise. I am the National Coordinator of WOZA. Thank you.